23 says, and these are the numbers of the bands that were ready, armed to the war, and came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. There's where I got, member of the band. If you go down to verse number 33, here's one of those bands. He says, of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank, they were not of double heart. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come to you, Father, one more time today. God, I ask you to forgive me if I failed you. Jesus said this in John chapter number 6. He says, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Lord, may our speech, you preaching through me, be spirit and life today. I've often prayed the same things over and over and over again, but Lord, and I'm not saying this to be difficult, but Lord, there's a lot of preaching that's been going on. And Lord, Father, and you've blessed this church and you've blessed many a people, but Lord, Father, we're seeing souls saved. But Lord, I'm not going to kick back and kick up my heels and put it in cruise control. Lord, I know you want to change lives and make them stronger and bring them closer to you. Lord, as we preach this today, I hope how many people, Lord, Father, and start with me, to be a member of this band. Lord, Father, I know some folks may think I'm trying to pull something psychological out, but I'm not. Lord, this time is too short. The day is far spent and not as at hand. Lord, Father, as we sung those songs, I'm reminded, Lord, yes, in heaven we'll all have a good time. But Lord, Father, there's hearts and souls here that I worry about, and no doubt these people do too. Lord, so I pray today that we'd be provoked, Lord, Father, by your word, provoked by your spirit, and provoked by your message. It's in Jesus' name I do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. Zebulun's one of these bands that had come to David to bring the kingdom and to give it to him, surrender it to him after the death of Saul. We find as they come together in Hebron, we find here at these group, it goes through and lists through us all these other tribes, these men that come. Zebulun, if you'll have it, this is the one the Lord kind of leaped off my page, and I kind of stuck where it says they were not of a double heart. That it stuck out and leaped off the page at me, but as I pondered upon how they were not of a double heart, it was the other things that made it possible, Brother James, for them to do those other things because they were not of a double heart. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you mean of a double heart. Well, in James chapter number 1, verse number 8, it says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And what he's referring to in James chapter number 1 in the previous two verses, he's talking about a man who comes to the Lord and seeks wisdom, and he comes and he's asking him of wisdom and says, God, I need wisdom from you. And the Bible says that God will give you that wisdom liberally. And he'll abrade if not. That means he won't mince no words. He'll give it to you. He'll speak to your heart. But don't ask not expecting to get anything from the Lord, like a wave tossed to and from in the sea. Oftentimes we'll ask God, say, God, I need this and I need that, and God gives this and that. But the things that he gives oftentimes is not exactly what we was searching as the answer to be. But nevertheless, he gives us the answer that we need to have. And the Bible says, don't ask knowing, thinking that you ain't going to receive it. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That means if you're asking God to do something, and then you're not expecting God to do anything, and you go about to do your own thing, I mean, you've just caused yourself more hurts. You're taking one step forward and two steps back. But I'm also reminded in James chapter number 4, James is also speaking of, as we referenced to, as we was beginning to pray, he says, you have not because you ask not. And then you have not because you ask amiss. You ask it amongst yourselves that you may consume it upon your flesh. That means the only thing that you're asking for from the Lord is something that'll satisfy your flesh, that'll satisfy you, and say, it's got to be of God if things are easy. It's got to be of God if things are smooth. I'm not saying that if things are smooth and easy that it's never of God, but I am saying oftentimes people think that when things is going smooth that it must be God's in control. May I remind everybody, the Bible says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. And can I say this, when it comes to an anointing, when it comes to a power, when it comes to be a member of this band, oftentimes the tribulation and the hard times come. Why? Because it's God drawing you closer to him to be more of what he wants you to be. We find as he goes through chapter number 4, Brother Eddie of the book of James, he goes down, he starts talking about, he says, resist the devil and he'll flee. Oftentimes we entertain too many things that come from the devil. We entertain too many things that come via and why the devil. Just because he may not be the one directly passing on down the line, but I can look and see the fingerprints all over it. And may I say this, oftentimes we give too much heed to what the devil says and what the devil does. And my Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee. You don't entertain him. You don't go out to eat with him. You don't talk about it. You talk with him. You don't get on and watch TV with him. You don't listen to music with him. You run from the devil. You don't have what it takes to take him on one-on-one. You don't have what it takes to outsmart him and outwit him. Ask Eve if you have what it takes to outsmart and outwit the devil. Friend, my Bible tells me when he come to Jesus, he waited till Jesus at his weakest point in his flesh, and he tried to get Jesus and tempted Jesus, but Jesus fought him back with the Word of God. Why? Because he is the Word of God. But when it comes to you and I, Brother James, we can only know so much Bible. We've only got so many rounds in our gun, but I can say this, I can run pretty fast. And you say, preacher, can you? You and me get bit up with a grizzly bear. I'm telling you, I ain't going to outrun the grizzly bear. I got to outrun you. And the Bible says, outrun, flee, run away from the devil, and he'll resist him, and he'll flee. Stand against him. Stand up against him, as in bringing the word, but don't take him on head on. You flee and run to that Bible. You run to that Word of God and use it as your ammo. Use it as against the Lord. But the Bible says, don't take a step towards the devil. You take a step towards God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. He says, clean your hands, ye sinners, and purify your mind, ye double, purify your heart, ye double-minded. He's saying that you've got too many things going on up there. You're not steady. You're not focused. You're not surrendered. You're not submitted. You're not laser locked and loaded onto one thing. You're tossed to and fro. You're back and forth. And oftentimes in these scriptures, and oftentimes as I'm thinking about these verses, and this verse, Brother Idiot says that they were not of a double heart. That means their heart. It's one thing to be of a double mind. And some people say, well, preacher, what's the difference? Well, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 23, one of my favorite scriptures, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. These men of the band, these men of the tribe of Zebulun, they had done something in their heart. They had done something and spent time doing something for their heart to be single, their heart not to be doubled. I remind everybody in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 46, the Bible says they continued on from house to house, eating their bread, eating their meat with gladness and with singleness of heart, praising God and worshiping the Lord and having favor with the people. May I say this, oftentimes people say, well, preacher, I go to church and I'm a Christian, therefore everybody hates me. The world hates you, but the Bible says when your ways please the Lord, your enemies will even be at peace with you. What's that mean, preacher? That means they can't lift up a word of accusation against you. That means they can't come against you and accuse you of anything falsely. Why? Because you're walking upright in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the world, in the presence of your neighborhood. And oftentimes, when it comes to be a part of the band, I wonder if anybody here would like to be a part of that band where they can be used and be mighty in the hand of the Lord. I'm reminded, as it says, these bands come to David. I've noticed that in Zebulun, the Bible says they was the one who did not have a double heart. I'm reminded as their heart was single, their heart was focused. I'm reminded of the things when it comes to being double-hearted, things that some people just can't submit and surrender. I've often seen people that will come to the altar. I've often seen people throughout the ministry that I have been, the Lord has placed me in as long as I've been saved. I've seen certain folks. I've seen actually many a folk. As the old-timers would say, they took them in a dry center and they brung them up a wet center, and they never really got things straight. They never got things really surrendered unto the Lord. I've seen them come to the altar. I've seen them cry. I've seen them beg, and they had themselves an experience on the altar. And don't get me wrong, I think you need to have an experience and that with the Lord, the revelation of the Lord, the lifting of the burden from the Lord. I think it's something that you need to experience. I don't care. I ain't saying the way that you have to experience. I'm just saying you can't come in contact with an almighty, all-powerful, all-living God and then not have an impact in your life. But the problem that we have, Brother Eddie, is that once they get up and walk away from the altar or leave the church that day, what do they do after that? And oftentimes I heard one preacher say this. He said, if you want to see how many people truly got converted, look for the converts about 5 years after their profession, and you'll know whether or not if they really got converted, if they really got convicted, if they really got changed. And the Bible says, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not that he might be a new creature. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That means they're presently gone. They're presently dead. They're presently done away with. But he says, but all things are become new. That means every day you get up, there's grace and there's mercy waiting on you. The compassion of God's awaiting on you. Bless God, it's the same thing for the rest of the world. But since we're saved, we know when we get up, God's got it right there, and it'll help us through. Am I hearing this preacher this morning? Oh, bless his holy and righteous name for them who went all the way. But we're living in days and times where people says, I'd like to be named with the band, but do you really want to be a member of the band? I know y'all may think this is crazy. Y'all pray for me now. I'm going as fast. I'm doing as best as I can. But back in the 80s, back in the hair band days, that's around, you know, when the music was real big in my life. I also was in the 70s. So don't y'all flip out. I'm genre music. They had a thing called groupies. And groupies was the ones that wanted to be attached to the band, but they didn't have what it took to be in the band. Y'all hearing the preacher? And it seems like more and more people nowadays, the statement that used to be said years ago, that the world has gotten churchy only because the church has gotten worldly. And it seems like you can't find nobody out there anymore. It seems like everybody's all right. Everybody's heading the same direction. Everybody's saved. Everything's okay. Everything's all right. And people like Jason Faulkner and James Powell and Josh Stover and those men down there at Mount Zion, those women at Mount Zion Baptist Church, they just got something wrong. They got some bad doctrine. They got some bad theology. They're trying to corner people into a paint people into a corner. They ain't got no love. Can I tell you this? Here's what love is. When somebody's playing around on I-75 in the midst of traffic, I'm going to stop my car and get out of my car. I'm going to honk my horn. I'm going to holler at them. Tell them to get out of the road or they're going to get killed. Here's what the world wants you to say. Hey, leave them alone. You can't judge them. You can't say nothing about them. I mean, who do you think you are? Do you think you're Jesus? That's the world that we're living in today. Y'all with the preacher? Y'all still with the preacher? I'm trying to keep from running off on a soapbox message, Brother James, but this is on my heart. Forget the rest of it. I come across this guy, and if y'all don't like this, that's fine. You can lump it, take it with you. I don't care. But I saw this guy got so bent, and he decided to go after the church. He decided to go after Christian people because this guy was sitting there, and he was covered with tattoos from fingertip to ears. And a person come to him and says, I like to hear you speak, but there's just something about you I can't focus on. There's something I just can't get with it. Well, he didn't like what that person said, so what does he do? He goes on social media and decides to blast everybody and call us judging. Can I say something right now? I'm not trying to hurt nobody's feelings, but I do want to get on the midst of your heart and realize this. There's some criteria that comes with God's people. There's some things that come to separate God's people from the world. And I know the world may not like this. I hope this gets real good and clear on the website. I hope everybody hears it. I don't care if you've even videoed it, put it on YouTube. Can I say something? There's a clear distinction between God's people and the people of the world. Some people say, preacher, you ought not to preach that way. Well, friend, can I say this? When war is about to start and it starts to wage a holy war, I can't find too many holy people that's willing to stand up and fight. The rest of them are out there trying to do things like the world's are doing, saying, well, if I just act like the world, maybe I can win them. Friend, I've never seen nobody win the world being like the world. The only way you can win the world is show them Jesus Christ. Too many people say, preacher, that's just rude. This man even said, you know, the church's favorite scripture used to be John 3:16. Now it's Matthew chapter number 7. And I said, you know what? He must have been listening to what I've been saying. But he left Matthew chapter 7 alone after verse number 1. Verse number 1 says, judge not lest you be judged, right? For whatever judgment you meet, it shall be meet unto you. What that's saying is, whatever judgment you're dishing out, it's going to be dished out to you. Can I say something? Y'all may not like this, that's fine. But how would you like, Ronnie, how this church would like if I showed up and cut off Daisy Duke shorts and a low top shirt to show my cleavage in the front and show my cleavage in the back And I spend my Saturday nights and Friday nights getting tattooed from head to toe, piercings all over me, and come to church one day and try to preach holiness unto this church and peace, follow peace with all men and holiness, and you shall not see the face of the Lord. People say, well, preacher, I mean, you're just getting on a soapbox. You're just trying to hurt people's feelings. No, I'm not. I'm saying there's a band that God wants to use, and it's going to cost you something if you want to be a part of this band. You ask the children of Israel and you ask the children of Egypt. About two or three plagues in, God said, I'm going to make a difference between my people and the people of Egypt. And can I say this? I still got it wrote down in my Bible the day Brother James preached it. He's going to make a difference in Matthew. He said he's going to make a difference between the sheep and the goats, didn't he? Now, you may not like it. You say because you've got horns and a goatee comes down to here, you still say you're a sheep. But, friend, you keep butting everything God's going to do. That's Billy Goat religion. Y'all went to pray. I don't know why I'm gotten so mean all of a sudden. I don't know if God's wanting this or not, but you all pray for me. But can I say something? To be a member of this band, it's going to cost you something. What we have nowadays, I hear people say we want that old-time religion. Brother James reminded me of the message the Lord preached not too long ago. That church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter number 2, verse 1, they were old-fashioned, but they had lost all their passion. They were old-fashioned. They knew the right way. They knew the criteria. They knew the strictness. They knew the dividing line. But the problem was they had no passion for nobody because they didn't have a passion for the Lord. These men of Zebulun, they had a passion. They were not halt between two opinions. They weren't stuck. They had a singleness of heart. 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 21, the man of God come to him and said, why are ye halt between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. Because right now, not only are you bothering me, but you done messed up all Israel. Is that right? I look at Brother James because he knows I won't put it him this way. Is that what the problem we have in church world today? We got too many people who still stuck between two opinions. Got one foot in church and one foot still in the world. And they're stuck between two opinions and they think they ain't hurting nobody. But they done caused the church to get all worldly. Why? Because if a man stands flat-footed upon the word of God, stands for the truth, he wants to be put out of the band. They want to put him out of the band. But Elijah says, why are you stuck between two opinions? Choose one. Choose the one. We all know the story. They all chose. They chose Baal. Elijah challenged them. I wonder how many people here would be willing to go out in the world and say, challenge my God, see if he doesn't move. And Elijah not only challenged him to see if God would answer by fire, he said, he'll answer my prayer. Is that right? He said, why are you halt between two opinions? Jesus said in Luke chapter number, I do believe it's Luke, chapter number 13, verse number 2, he says, you cannot serve two masters. You'll serve one and hate the other. Y'all with the preacher? I'm reminded of this because in this scripture here of Zebulun, I ain't got no notes or anything. I ain't get no time to change notes. Had a nosebleed, got down there and helped take care of it. The Lord said, yeah, you ain't getting no notes. You ain't getting nothing. So you don't think I've sat here and planned this and mapped this out, meditated and wrote notes, things about you all. I'm giving you exactly. Brother Jason, this is coming from the pipes of glory. Amen right there. But can I say this? These men in Zebulun, I'm going to get to them, but I'm trying to get back. Brother Eddie, you pray for me. I got one more place I want to get before I get there. I got two more places I want to get before I get there, and I'll get back to Zebulun. I'm reminded in 2 Kings chapter number 2, there was a man by the name of Elisha who was following Elijah. Y'all with the preacher? We all know the story. And it's when Elisha is following Elijah, and Elijah says, you keep following me everywhere. What do you want? He says, I want a double portion. Get that? He says, I want a double portion. But notice what was going on for him to ask that. First of all, the sons of the prophets were around him. And what were they doing? They was real encouraging, wasn't they? No. Can I say this? Even people you go to church with ain't going to be encouraging. I know he didn't get too many amens out of that. Thank you, Eddie, for the preach. But there's some people you go to church with, you ain't going to encourage. Brother Johnny, I've been there. They ain't going to encourage you. They're going to tell you what, why you got to be so uptight? Why you got to keep following the man of God? Why you got to keep going that way? He's too strict anyhow. Loosen up. Hang out with us. Let's have a good time. You young people hearing me? Why you all keep preaching about that old time way? It's 2018 because the old time way is proven way. It's the Bible way. It's God's way. It's the only way that ever brung victory. Isaac, that's why I stand here. That's why he stands. And we flap our gums, not for the joy of being flapping gums. I mean, I'd like to take a little rest with my voice. I mean, I like singing a whole lot, you know, but I love preaching. But I'm going to preach what God gives me. And can I say this? We need a group of people. We need a group of men and a group of women, young, old, and middle-aged. I don't care what your age is. We need some people who are still following the old-time way and the man of God to do the work of God. But before Elisha could resist the sons of the prophets, he gave up the cows and the plows. He gave up what mom and dad wanted him to do. He gave up what he was raised to do. And can I say this? That's very offensive to family. I'm speaking from experience. But can I say this? When the man of God passed by Elisha and said, follow me, he said, I want to tell mom and dad goodbye. And he burnt the cows, or killed the cows and burnt the plows, is what I heard Brother Toby call it. But what he was doing, he was saying, so long, goodbye, I'm not coming back. He got rid of what he used to do, Brother James. It no longer, it's not there waiting on him. If this preaching thing didn't work out, he's got something to go back to. He didn't put everything into one basket. He said, I got rid of it all. Y'all with the preacher? And after he done that, he's got a group of men saying, group of young men saying, just hang out with us. You ain't got to be so old-time. You got to be so old-fashioned, so hard, so strict. But can I say this? The Bible says, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Can I say this? I'm not reproving and rebuking and leaving you alone. Exhortation's coming. But can I say this? This is all doctrine. This is all doctrine. This is all Bible. These group of men from Zebulun, these group of men were like Elisha, who said they wanted a double portion. And for Elisha to get a double portion, he had to separate himself from that crowd that wanted him to stay back with him. For Elisha to get a double portion, Brother Eddie, he had to remember there was nothing back to go home to. For Elisha to get a double portion, he had to follow Elijah all the way to the Jordan River. You might say, well, preacher, what's so big about the Jordan River? That's where God likes to operate out of all the rivers in the Bible. He operates at the Jordan River. He split the Jordan River, rolled it back in the midst of a flood. No doubt, maybe Elisha may have saw some stones stacked up right there on the edge of the Jordan River. I don't know if that was the place or not, but maybe it was a reminder to him saying, it will not be the smoothest of ways, but it'll be a way that would be the best rewarding. The Bible says that Elisha wanted a double portion. And he followed the man of God. The Bible talks about in Daniel how Daniel was a man that was different than the rest of them. Daniel, and I got these things marked. This is kind of, this floored me. In Daniel chapter number 9. If you want to flip to Daniel chapter number 9. Or Daniel chapter number 10. I'm sorry, Daniel chapter number 10. I'm going to read 3 verses. And I'm going to get back to the message. Don't worry, we're not past 12:30, so everybody's all right. Daniel chapter number 10, verse number 5. And this is what it was wrote. Daniel says, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Verse number 7, it says, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Notice what happened when Daniel got in the presence of the Lord. Notice how Daniel describes the presence of the Lord. Sounds real familiar, don't it? Sounds like John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation, don't it? But the thing that got me so much about how Daniel was describing him, the thing that kind of caught my heart, was in the verse number 7. He said there was other men with him. There were other men that was around with him, but they couldn't see the vision. And when they couldn't see the vision, and Daniel seeing the vision, what was going on? But the Bible says, a great quaking fell upon them so that they fled and hid themselves from that place. Can I say this, Brother Eddie? When a person's not prepared, when a person's not separated themselves, when a person's not gave themselves over into the work and that of the Lord to do the things the Lord wants them to do. When you get in the presence of the Lord, there's a quaking and a shaking that happens. And can I say this? Sometimes you'll feel like you're by yourself and nobody understands. And nobody will go all the way with you. Can I, the reason why that's going on is because God is speaking to you. Just because other people don't stand in that way and other people don't follow in that way doesn't mean that you're the one wrong and everybody else is right. Can I say this? We've never been in the majority. We've always been the minority. I'm reminded when Saul was walking on the road to Damascus and the Bible says there was a light that shined around all of us that was ahead down Damascus. And the Bible says everybody saw the light. But Saul said, I heard a voice. And it was saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What was going on, preacher? That was God speaking unto Saul. And Saul became the Apostle Paul. Can I say this? Daniel, the reason why Daniel could be this way was two reasons. In Daniel chapter number 9 and verse number 3, it says that he separated himself for prayer, supplication, fasting, with sackcloth and ashes. He gave up the things of the world for prayer, supplication, fasting, with sackcloth and ashes. Sister Jamie, that means that he turned off the TV, he turned off the cell phone, he turned off the computer. Hey, I'm preaching to myself just as much as anybody else, and I'm not preaching at Sister Jamie. I don't know if Sister Jamie's on her phone and cell computer. But if you are, then I am preaching at you. But can I say this, Sister Jamie? He separated himself for prayer. Not just any old prayer, not just the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want kind of prayer. He separated himself with supplications. It means, Sister Vicki, his heart was broke. He was intent. He was humble, saying, if I can't get my prayers to God, there's no hope. That's supplication. If I can't get my prayers to God and God hear my prayers, there's no way, there's no victory. And he knew that. But it wasn't just the prayer and the supplication. That means he was willing to take away the pleasures of this world, sackcloth and ashes, take away the world be right and what's pure. He says, I'm going to become the filthiness and the ash of this world so that I know that I am humble in the presence of God that I might pray. And somebody said, well, preacher, how do you get that way? Go to Daniel chapter number 1 and you'll find, I do believe it's verse number 8 or verse number 10, where it said, Daniel purposed it in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat and the king's drink. So can I say this? For some of you got mad as a wet hen at me preaching about tattoos and all them other things. Daniel was willing to separate himself from the things of the world, from the world's stuff and the world's meat and the world's drink. Not to say that he was pure and better than anybody else. Please don't think that I'm preaching that. But Megan, he separated himself so he could be used of God. I dare say this, and you all could say I'm wrong, and I'm not going to ask for a poll because somebody's going to say I don't believe that. But I wonder, this is my opinion. Since I've been saved, my greatest desire is to be used of the Lord. And I would even dare say that it should be every person's desire that's been saved, to be used of the Lord. Right? Everybody can't be a preacher. Everybody can't be a deacon. Everybody can't be a youth pastor. Everybody can't be a Sunday school teacher. We need some prayers. We need some singers. We need some musicians. We need some doorkeepers. Right? Y'all hearing the preacher? I don't know why. You all take this up with the Lord. I'm just giving you what God's given me. I don't know who was going. I'm giving you exactly what God's given me. But I'm so reminded that Daniel said, I'm willing to give up everything. I'm not going to eat the king's meat. And you know what? They were scared to death. The princes that had come up to Daniel, and there was Daniel, and there was Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the three Hebrew boys from chapter number 3. They're all standing there. And he says, if you all don't eat the king's meat, you're going to look like you've been starved, and you've been not been treated good, and the king's going to get mad and kill me. And they said, you just give us the beans. We'll take the beans. I know a lot of people don't like beans, but beans is a good food. It's lasted a lot of hillbillies through many, many generations. He said, but give us the beans. We'll take the beans. And you all may think I'm crazy and think I'm adding to it, but Sister Stella, I think they prayed over them beans. And I think them beans probably tasted better than any steak that the king could cook at Outback or Longhorn or Texas Roadhouse. I know that may get some people chapped, but I think the beans is better than the steak. You say, why? Because Daniel separated himself for the Lord. And when Daniel separated himself from the Lord, Dalton, that way he could pray in supplication. And when it come time for the king and the world to need a word from the Lord and have their dreams interpreted, who'd they go to? They went to the man of God. He said, "Preacher, where are you getting at?" Hopefully you still got your Bible open to 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. Because verse number 23 says he was of the band of the Zebulun. Of Zebulun. Zebulun means a dwelling place. Zebulun, basically in the Hebrew, is a dwelling place. It was a place where they could, it's a place where they stayed. And can I say this? You don't get given these gifts. One or two people may have a knack in their mind to decipher military tactics and things like that, but I don't think 50-some thousand of them could. So that lends to this kind of logic that since Zebulun's a dwelling place, these 50-some thousand men stayed there and they learned something from the ones who knew something. Y'all hearing the preacher? Bible says this in Zebulun, or 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 33, says of Zebulun, such as went forth to the battle were expert in war. That means they knew how to fight. They knew how to wage war. Now, can I say this? I'm not fighting North Korea. I'm not fighting Russia. I'm not fighting Syria, and I'm not fighting Iran. You know what I'm fighting against? I'm fighting against the devil and sin. My weapons are not carnal, they're spiritual. There's wickedness in high places. That's Bible. And you said, "Preacher, you're in the Old Testament." But it's in the New Testament. He said, "War, good warfare. Don't get entangled in things of the world. Soldier, don't entangle himself in the affairs of the world." Can I say this? The Lord's looking for some good soldiers. They were experts in war. They knew how to fight. We're in the midst of a holy war. I've heard some of you say, "We've got so many lost in our family." I've got lost in my family. I've got religious people in my family. They're worse than lost people. They've got a form of godliness, but they ain't got no power. They actually deny the power thereof. I've got people that says, because I've been baptized back in 1950, 60-something, they think they're all right and they're going to meet sitting right on the right hand of Jesus Christ when things are all over, though they live like the devil in hell all for 50-some years. And you say, "Preacher, you're talking about my family." Hey, I'm talking about mine too. But friend, there's a difference between the folks that were of Zebulun and the folks who weren't. I've said this before. I've had people come to me and say, "Preacher, you're going to be real surprised and shocked who's in heaven." And you know what? I hope I am. But I think there's going to be a lot of people that's going to be shocked and surprised who don't make it. And hell, they'll lift up their eyes. Why? Because they never were a part of that band. They wanted to be a groupie of it. That's a message right there, secondary message. Be a member of the band, not a groupie. Somebody say amen right there. That's pretty good. Write that down. Not only were they an expert in war, in verse number 33 says they were experts with all instruments of war. That means they weren't a one-trick pony. Some people say, "I can't sing." God's not looking for, this is not American Idol. Some people say, "I can't pray as eloquent as other people." We're not going by eloquency of speech. "I can't preach." He's not looking for a single... They were experts in war and all the instruments of war. Not only were they an expert in how to fight, they knew the power, and they knew the tools to fight. And this next thing it says, which could keep rank. That was the one that really, I highlighted that a little bit different than the rest of them. They knew how to stay in line. They knew how to stay in their spot. Is anybody hearing the preacher? They knew where their post was. They knew how to stay put. I don't think it's gotten real quiet. I don't know if anybody's catching that or not. How many people want to be pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church? Raise your hand. Because I'll give you my shoes if you want them. Can I say this? I don't need you to be pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church. God needs me to be pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church. Right? Right? I could go on, but some people might think I'm picking. When they knew how to stay in rank and stay in line, they knew to do what they were supposed to do and not go doing nobody else's, try to do somebody else's job. You say, "Preacher, you're showing." I don't care if I'm showing. I'm feeling something right there, Gabriel Faulkner. They knew how to stand at their own post. They knew how to stay there. Can I say this? Y'all with the preacher? I might go 2 hours right now. I just feel like it. This year they had biscuits and gravy for breakfast at youth retreat. And the first thing I said was, it ain't that canned gravy, is it? We preached on that canned gravy one year. Sister Becky liked to whoop the far out of me over that canned gravy. It was good gravy, Sister Becky. I'll say that again. But somebody else made the gravy. How much gravy, and it was good gravy this year too. But I wonder how good that gravy would be. Now, y'all, hopefully you're listening to me spiritually right now. I'm trying to give you an earthly application to a spiritual meaning. I wonder if we all would try to make the gravy, how good the gravy would have been. I wouldn't have put as much sausage in that gravy that was in there this year. I ought to put in a whole lot more. Wasn't enough pepper for my liking. Needed more salt. Too much pepper. Too much salt. You like your biscuits sliced open? Do you want them crumbled up? Can I say this? The reason why that this band of the Zebulons were so good, they knew how to stay rank. Keep in line. You said, preacher, I'm not under... Hey, if God's a preaching through me right now, it's making sense in people's hearts. The reason being, they were experts of war. They knew the instruments of war. And now they knew to stay in rank. It's because they spent the time in Zebulun learning how to do what they were supposed to know to do. And they kept their heart from being double. That means they was fixed and focused. This is the end of the message. I looked at my hands last night. Tammy likes rearranging the furniture in the house ever so often. And I think the reason I accused her of doing it, and every time she does it, I think she likes doing it because she wants to get it. She wants to move somewhere, and we can't move nowhere, so she just moves the furniture around, makes it feel like it's a brand new house. So I'm sitting where the dining room table is, and I can't get comfortable. I give up when I'm walking around, I'm fidgety. Tammy's like, what's wrong with you? I just walk around. I said, I can't get focused, I can't get set. And I looked at my hands. Y'all with the preacher? Y'all still with me? Say amen. I looked at my hands. I got a couple calluses, a couple. And I thought of that verse in Luke chapter number 9, verse number 62. That he that putteth his hands to the plow, looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. And I still remember that message. I still remember that plow. James working that plow. Was it 2 years ago he was working that plow? I still remember him working that plow. And everybody always makes it sound like it's just a salvation message, but it's a service message. As in your service for the Lord and with the Lord. And I noticed, I remember talking to my grandparents, and my mom. Some of us got to talking about tobacco. I know who was always talking about tobacco with. I see people post stuff on Facebook all the time saying that if you remember working in tobacco, share and like it. I know if I showed that to my mom, it might smack me. My mom didn't like tobacco, and she don't want to remember it, not one bit, because of the calluses and the blisters. I said that they used to use a stick, Sister Vicki, when they first started planting tobacco, they was allowed to go get them a stick. But if you get two rows into planting that tobacco and that stick breaks, oh well, start using your fingers. You couldn't take a break, go look for another stick. She says your fingers would be raw, they'd be bright red, they'd be sore to touch and everything. And I looked at my hands last night. The Lord said, do you think that maybe you could get a couple more calluses on them hands? I said, Lord, I mean, I got some calluses on there already, because I know I'd sit back and take my ease too and say, you know what? People may get mad at you. You know, I understand they may get mad if you preach like this. We've come through, you know, youth retreat and vacation Bible school. We've seen 6 souls saved. I mean, everybody testified and shout hallelujah. I believe there's more to testify to come from the way the Lord's working and things like that. Somebody said, you shouldn't preach a message like that. And the Lord said, yeah, that's what I do too. I'd look at my 2 calluses and say, I've arrived. But I want to be a member of that band. I want to be a member of that band. I want some more calluses. I wonder how many of you here is not even a member of the band. You're just a groupie. You're not really saved. You're faking it. I heard a term this past week. Everything's been matching. They're faking it and hoping they can make it. It doesn't work that way. Now it's real quiet. Brother Eddie, I think it needs to be quiet this morning. I think we got some people in here that could stand some calluses just like this pastor can. But your calluses better come from the post that you're supposed to be at. Because if you ain't at your post, there's nobody at your post. And David, the king, couldn't use Zebulun And our king can't use us if we ain't at our post. I've had people ask me in years and years and years and years and years, "Preacher, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing for the Lord. How did you find out what you're supposed to do for the Lord?" I prayed and asked God, and I kept praying, I kept asking, I kept praying, I kept asking, and I got myself real humble as I can get myself. What I was doing was unplugging the wax out of my ears, the one in between the H and the T. I unplugged the wax. I purged out the old leaven that the lump may be new, and God told me what he wanted me to do. And I knew his will. Man, I felt like preaching. I could go, oh my gosh, my mind's getting big. I wonder right now how many of you here is a member of the band. I wonder how many of you here right now says, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I'm blood bought. I'm born again. I know I'm going to heaven. You can't shake me." Thank you. Bless your heart. God can only give you that assurance. But are you at your post? Have you spent enough time to know the warfare? Have you spent enough time to know what God wants you to do? And are you expert at your post? But maybe you don't know if you're a member of the band or not. You're like, "Well, I'd like to think that I am. I don't know if I am." I think right now would be a good time if we get us a song. And as we get this song, I wonder how many